20 billions of you. How many would come here to this world? How quickly would they turn it into a replica of the disaster they have created on their own home world?
We would be wiped out, Aditi repeated.
Jordan said nothing for a moment, his thoughts spinning. Then, and now that we've found you, that danger exists.
It does indeed, said Audrey. What are you going to do about it? Aditi asked.
Her face was unutterably sad, Jordan saw, as if I've just condemned her entire race to extinction. What can I do about it? He wondered aloud.
Audrey said, That is one of the problems that face us.
One of the problems. There are others?
Oh, yes. But let us deal with this first problem first. You are a test case for us, Aditi said. If we can make you understand, then perhaps there is a chance that contact between our two peoples can be beneficial.
And if not? Audrey sighed heavily.
You are slightly more than 8 light-years from Earth. Your transmissions of information back to your home world will take 8-some years to reach their destination.
Jordan nodded. Looking slightly guilty, Audrey said,
Your messages to Earth are not getting through. I'm afraid we've blocked your transmissions.
Blocked them? How?
It's only temporarily, until we decide whether we should proceed with you.
And if you decide not to proceed?
Then your messages back to Earth will be permanently blocked. Earth will decide that your mission somehow met with disaster.
They'll think we're all dead, Jordan realized.
You will not be allowed to return, said Audrey. You will have to stay here. With us, Aditi said.
Jordan sat there for long, silent moments, trying to digest it all. If we don't measure up to Audrey's standards, we won't be allowed to return to Earth. The people back home will think we've been killed. Yet he found himself thinking, well, would that be so terrible? He looked at Aditi's young, lovely face, so earnest, so caring. And he thought, Earth's a madhouse, filled with self-seeking egotists who've wrecked the planet. What do I owe them? They killed my wife. They did nothing while the global climate spiraled out of control. Why not stay here and live with these people? With Aditi. At last he rose from the couch. Aditi stood up beside him. I'll have to talk this over with the others. They've got to know what's at stake.
Audrey slowly, stiffly, got to his feet. By all means, tell them that we would be happy to have them stay here and join us.
Jordan smiled bleakly. You would be happy, I can believe that. But they won't be. Reactions.
They'd force us to stay here? Thornberry's beefy face twisted into an angry scowl. We're their prisoners, Meek wailed.
Jordan had returned to the base camp and called a meeting of the entire team. Aditi had wanted to accompany him, but Jordan decided that it would be better for her to remain in the city. Now they sat around the long table in the dining area, looking just as angry and fearful as Jordan had expected. At the foot of the table, a display screen showed Hazard, Trish Wanamaker, and Demetrius Zadar still aboard the orbiting ship. Hazard looked grim, hostile. Trish and the astronomer seemed puzzled, confronted with a problem they had never expected. Standing at the head of the table, Jordan spread both arms to quiet them down. You can understand how afraid of us they are, he said.
They're afraid of us, Meek said, incredulous. Ha!
Longyear shook his head doggedly. I say we go back aboard Gaia and drag our tails out of here.
Would they try to stop us? Elise wondered.
Thornberry said, If they could deactivate my two rovers, I imagine they could conk out our rocket plane. Looking more alarmed than ever, Meek said,
You mean they could keep us here against our will?
I suppose that's better than killing us, Brandon said with a sardonic grin.
I knew it, Meek shouted. I knew it! We're all going to be murdered in our beds.
Don't be an ass, Brandon snapped.
Now look here, young man.
Stop it, Jordan commanded. Settle down and stop bickering, both of you. This is exactly the kind of reaction that Audrey fears from us. Emotion instead of rationality. Brandon smiled crookedly at his brother.
All right, Jordy. What's the rational approach to this?
Before Jordan could reply, Defia said,
The first thing to do is to see if the ship's systems will work.
Everything's working so far, said Hazard from the display screen. Of course, we haven't had to fire up the fusion drive.
Could you check out the propulsion system without lighting it off?
Longyear asked. Sure, that's what I'll do.
Fine, Jordan said. That's a reasonable first step. But it doesn't get to the heart of our problem.
Which is, Brandon prompted, how do we convince Adri and his people that Earth is not a threat to them?
That silenced them. Even Meek looked thoughtful. But the silence lasted only a moment. Thornberry said, seems to me our real problem is how do we counter their ability to knock out our vehicles? If we learn how to do that, we'll be able to leave whenever we want to.
Jordan nodded. A good point. And there's only one way to learn that, by working with Adri's people, by letting them show us their capabilities, teach us their technology.
Elise objected. Do you think they'd be naive enough to tell us anything useful?
Perhaps not, Jordan admitted. But for the present, I think our best course of action, perhaps our only course of action, is to play along with them. Show them we harbor no enmity toward them. Show them that we're eager to learn from them.
And we can offer to teach them our technology, Brandon added. After all, they don't have spaceflight.
They don't seem to have any transportation vehicles at all, Jordan said.
That's very odd, said Thornberry. If they don't have vehicles of their own, how do they know enough to deactivate ours?
Longyear piped up. I'd like to find out how their DNA matches ours. Was there some contact between us and them in the past?
But they don't have spaceflight, said Dr. Yamaguchi. How could there have been any contact?
There must have been, Longyear insisted. You can't get identical DNA without contact of some kind. Maybe both of our races come from some third species.
An interstellar pollinator, Brandon scoffed. Like Arrhenius's panspermia theory?
Get real, Paul. Longyear frowned. Be that as it may, said Jordan, trying to maintain control of the meeting. We have an agenda of goals to reach for.
We do? Asked Meek.
Yes, we do, Jordan replied.
Pointing to Hazard, Jeff, you check out the ship's propulsion system. We might decide to leave here right away.
Hazard nodded.
I've got to return to the city and tell Adri that we've decided to work with him and his people. Who's willing to join me?
Not I, Meek snapped. I'm not going to set foot in their city, not willingly.
I'll go, said Brandon. And I'll ask Adri to put me in touch with whatever passes for a geologist among his folks.
I'll go too, Elise said.
Jordan felt mildly surprised. He surmised that she wanted to be close to Brandon, but he had to ask, what can an astrophysicist accomplish? Before he could finish the sentence, Elise said,
you mentioned that they have advanced telescopes. I would like to see them, study them. This could be an unprecedented chance to study a white dwarf up close.
I see, Jordan replied, trying not to smile at her.
Of course.
And he thought, I want to be close to Aditi. She wants to be close to Bran. From the look on Brandon's face, he saw that his brother wanted to be close to Elise as well.
I want to go, Thornberry said. There's a lot for us to learn, there is.
I'll go too, Longyear added, although he didn't look very happy about it.
You'll need a biologist, and I want to figure out how their DNA can be so much like ours.
Five of us, then, said Jordan.
Meek wagged his head from side to side. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I tell you, you're putting yourselves into the lion's den.
Perhaps so, Harmon, Jordan replied. But I seem to recall an old adage, behold the lowly turtle. He only makes progress when he sticks his neck out. The others around the table laughed feebly. Meek made a sour face. In the city. As soon as the meeting broke up, Jordan and the four others headed for the city. It was nearly sunset when they left the base camp. The shadows of twilight lengthened as they marched along the forest trail. Jordan realized he didn't know how to contact Adri with his pocket phone, yet he had the feeling that Adri knew perfectly well that he was coming. Sure enough, the alien was standing at the edge of the city on the stone walk that circled the buildings, practically beaming at the five approaching humans. But Aditi was not with him.
Welcome, my friends, said Adri, extending both arms to them.
We are here to begin the process of learning to get along together, Jordan said. In his own ears, the pronouncement sounded slightly